Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we will do a quick analysis of a token you have requested in the comments from the last video. So we're looking today at a token called Iconomy. Now, usually, before we get started, what we look at when we do quick analysis, we look at this 6x6 method that we are using in order to do cryptocurrency research. We're looking at the team, the advisors, the investors, the technology, the product, the roadmap, the partnerships and news, the ease of use and availability, as well as the six questions on the right, which are: how big is the market, how big are the competitors, what kind of transactional inefficiency are they trying to solve, etc., etc. Now, in today's case, with Iconomy, we'll look specifically at the team, we'll look at parts of their product, so kind of the business model behind it, and we'll also dive into an interesting topic called proof of solvency, which I believe is more in the kind of news area located. But let's look at Iconomy. So Iconomy currently rank 127 on CoinMarketCap with a market capitalization of 68 million with a pretty healthy volume of around $270,000 per day or in the last 24 hours. Circulating supply just below the 100 million mark in ICN. Now, if we look at the website, first of all, what is Iconomy? So it says here, Bitcoin, Ethereum, much more digital asset management platform. So we see here different indexes, arrays, cryptocurrencies. So what exactly is Iconomy? So Iconomy, what exactly they are doing is they are providing people a platform who want to create their own funds. So let's say you have an investment thesis or a fund you would like to create based on crypto assets. So you're saying, I want to invest 30% into Bitcoin, 30% or 33 Bitcoin, 33 Ethereum, and 33 Litecoin. This is kind of the blue chip fund, if you will. In order to do this, you could either create separate accounts and then kind of create your own fund. But what if you want to do this for other people? Then it will get quite difficult. Now, Iconomy is providing people with an actual platform where you can start a fund. You can define it as the, let's say, blue chip fund, and you can buy the assets. And with that, then offer the so-called DAA, they are calling it, so a digital asset array, or your fund on the market, or actually on the Iconomy market, so that other people can actually buy it. Now, the interesting part here is they are taking care of the security part, they are taking care of the asset part and all of these things. So you don't have to actually think about that. You don't have to think about moving the assets, etc., etc. So they are taking care of all of these things for you. Now, if we look at this DAA list, which is, like I said, digital asset array, we currently see around 32 funds or indexes. And what you see here for the podcast listeners, we're looking at the DAA name. So let's say, for example, blockchain index, the ticker, which is BLX. Then we have the manager, so the name of the company or the person managing that. We have the fee, which is the management fee per year. We have an entry and an exit fee, so you don't keep buying and selling all the time, because obviously these funds and indexes are interested in you holding for a long time. Then we have the 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months performance. We have assets under management. We have the number of assets, meaning how many different cryptocurrencies is this thing invested. We have the split of Bitcoin and Ethereum on that list. Now, we will kind of look into two of those down the road, but before we get started, let's maybe first start with the team. Now, in the team, we have four people. So as far as I know, I wasn't able to like properly find an address, if you will, because you can only contact them through this, contact form, but doesn't really give an address here. So I believe, judging from the team, that they are based in Slovenia or the Czech Republic. I'm not really sure, but I'm thinking either Slovenia or Czech Republic. So We have Tim Zagar here. He is the co-founder and the CEO. We have Jani Valjavec. He is the co-founder. We have Matej Tomasin. He is the COO. And Miha Vitmar as the CTO. Now, the other employees are not listed. From the blog post I have read, I saw that they have around 11 people that are working on an economy, whether they are working on the technology part, whether they are full-time or part-time, is not clear. So this is the stuff I was able to gather. But first, let's start with Tim Zagar. Now, Tim has been working as a CEO for quite a while. So he has worked at Global Tim, custom B2B application development. So that was probably one of his own companies where he worked as a kind of CEO or creator and supplied either developers or development power for other people. Then we have here being the CEO of OpenHours LLC, which was a local search engine where he worked for 3 years and 8 months. And then we have Cashila, which is Bitcoin payment gateway. That's good. So November 2013 in Prague in the Czech Republic. And then we have Iconomy, which he started in April 2016. Now, what is interesting here is you can see, and I will tell you why this is interesting. He has studied at the University of Ljubljana and he studied social science. So he was there from 2002 and until 2008. Now, what is really interesting here in this company, in the Cashila company, is actually that he was the CEO and it's a Bitcoin payment gateway. Now, Cashila, if we look at it, and you think, oh, well, this is great. This is a company, it's running, and a payment gateway. Well, what payment gateways do is essentially help you get money. So if you're, let's say, have an e-commerce store and you want to accept payments in, let's say, Bitcoin, that's one way how you can do it, by like implementing a payment gateway. These are services that are taking a percentage amount on the transaction, and that's how they are making money. So Cashila, the idea of Cashila came pretty early for them. And if you look at Cashila, what you can see here, Cashila retail service officially closed. So Cashila was the first licensed Bitcoin company in the world, founded in July 2014. Cashila processed around 15 million euros in 3 years. In June 2017, Cashila stopped supporting retail service. Instead, the team that made Cashila possible is fully dedicating itself to bring you Iconomy. So it looks like almost the entire team has moved to Iconomy. And that is very good on the terms of they have had Bitcoin as well as fintech experience and moved as a team kind of to the next project and created Iconomy. So that is, I think, quite a positive thing. So let's look at the next person we have here, Jani Valjavec. He's the co-founder at Iconomy and doesn't really say what exactly he's doing though. Like it's literally only saying he was the co-founder and he has also worked at Cashila together with Tim, but it doesn't exactly say what he was doing. Now he did study mechanical engineering and economics. So he may have both a business and a technical background, but his exact role is not explained here. Now, next up we have, and by the way, yeah, again, University of Ljubljana again. So there is definitely a connection here. We have Matej Tomasin. He is the COO and he didn't work at Cashila before. So he was mostly a COO, a co-founder of kind of smaller technology companies, and has worked with them in marketing as well. So it's a bit all over the place. Now, as a CEO, he only started in September 2017. So that was last year, a couple of months ago, but he already is fairly active with kind of his insights and how he thinks certain things in the crypto world should work. Again, very interesting. If you look here, University of Ljubljana again, but this time he worked in accounting and finance. And he's, I think, also a bit older than the other guys, because most guys finished towards end of 2008-ish, but he finished already in 2000. Now, next up, we have Miha Vitmar. He's the CTO of Iconomy. And here, what is interesting is if you look at his previous roles, you can see he was director of development, then he was a product advisor, he was a product manager. And if you look at here, product manager, program manager, team manager, software architect, and then it comes back to software engineering. Now, I have a traditional background in product management, and most people I do know come from very technical roles, go then into product management and stay there. So it's very rare that they make the role from engineer to product manager to CTO. However, if he's a good developer, and I'm assuming that he is with his experience and the projects he kind of worked on, then yes, it makes sense that he's the CTO. But still, in my opinion, a good product manager is not necessarily a good CTO. So I think product managers also need to have additional technical experience in order to be a good CTO. But in his case, again, very little information we can judge here, but this is kind of the first quick insight that I'm seeing here. Again, University of Ljubljana, and he studied computer science, so definitely technical background here. Now that was kind of the first part, the team. One short information that I want to look into, and that is something I have found on Medium, and that's actually one of my critiques with this website. First of all, you don't have a white paper. Like literally, there is no way you can find a white paper. I was Googling around to ask a bit as well, and it looks like Iconomy has removed the white paper. I don't know why. My assumption is that the technology or their approach has changed and they kind of either are redoing it or it is gone for good. But this kind of like it gives a bit of a negative taste in my opinion. So I would have loved to see a white paper where also the majority of the technological kind of approach and the business model and all of these things are explained, because otherwise I had to like find the information everywhere. However, their Medium blog is quite good. So if you're on Medium or like on medium.com/iconomynet is the kind of the blog, if you will, here you can find announcements, informations, more and more. So there's a lot of information here, and that's actually pretty cool. So there was a lot of information available to get even without the white paper. Now, what is proof of solvency? Now, proof of solvency is, on a more non-technical way explained, it just shows that the business has the money it says it does, and at the same time can kind of afford to continue in a business sense, so that it doesn't go bankrupt in 6 months. Now, proof of solvency is interesting for mainly for potential investors, for companies like KPMG or Ernst & Young or even Deloitte, who are looking at these companies and kind of valuing them, because there has been this crazy ICO time. A lot of companies have raised a lot of money, have created certain things, but the question is, are their kind of assets greater than their liabilities, if you will? Now, proof of solvency is looking at, and this is more on the technological side, is looking at the assets that a company is holding and kind of remove the liabilities, and then says, yes, they are solvent, or no, they are not solvent. Now, it says here that on April 5th, 2018, Iconomy's 133 million of liabilities and 210 million of reserves distributed across 80 digital assets were blockchain audited and verified by Deloitte. Now, the idea is that using the blockchain, you are able to show how many assets you have under a certain company structure. And what you would use in this kind of way, or actually what they used, is a so-called Merkle tree. A Merkle tree allows you to create a tree structure, and we will see this pretty soon. So here you can see a kind of a tree structure for the podcast listeners. It defines the balance, and it shows and it creates a hash function by taking the balance, the email address, and something else, I thought, and creates a so-called hash. Now, a hash is a one-way function that you would create out of these three informations in order to kind of prove that under this hash, this balance is existing. The idea of this is that you don't reveal who or to whom this balance is belonging to. So with this hash, you're using this hash to kind of build this tree, and the tree then goes up, and once you are up here, you can kind of prove that the total balance that you would have under your reserves or your kind of capital that you could see here clearly that the balance is, let's say in this example, it's 3.7 BTC. And then you could even go down and see, okay, on this side you have 3 BTC, on this side you have 0.7 BTC. And then you can split it even down up until to the accounts. And this is a way, a technological way of showing that the company is actually holding the amounts of money, or in this case, crypto assets that they are saying they're holding. And this is quite interesting. It goes kind of in depth in how they have done this. And I think it is a great show of transparency, show of trust as well, that a company like Deloitte can come to Iconomy and look at their assets and say, yeah, we have just proved this. And we have verified that they have X amount of money in reserves as well as liabilities. Now, what I had here as well is, what you do is you do two things. You do proof of liabilities. The proof of liabilities has been split into two parts. So you have assets held by users such as ETH, BTC, and ICN held on the platform, as well as any digital asset array holdings, and assets held by the DAAs. Obviously, when you have a fund or a DAA, you have assets under the management. So these count as the kind of assets you have to look for in the liabilities as well. And then you have the reserve. The total reserves is defined as the sum of all Iconomy's digital assets and fiat holdings in bank accounts. So this is kind of the calculation that you're making. So you have the proof of liabilities, the Merkle tree approach, and then they are explaining how exactly this is working. And then they are also looking at kind of the other side and how to verify everything. So this definitely something that I think was a bonus point, in my opinion, for Iconomy, and kind of makes up for the missing white paper, if you will. Now, next up, I have created here a quick overview. And this is becoming relevant how. So while I was doing research, or kind of quick research, I have found a bunch of things that I think is quite relevant for the business model. Now, first off, we have the names. There is a kind of a weird connotation, or not connotation, but more there is this you have bunch of names and bunch of kind of short names for things that mean different things. So you have ICN. ICN is Iconomy, the token, and that is kind of an investment into the platform. You have BLX, that was called previously ICNX, which is an index that is also kind of run by Iconomy. Then you have CCP, which was previously called ICNP, which is also an index, which takes out 20% of profits and reinvests 80% of the revenues. Now, that is interesting or important how. Now, Iconomy, as kind of a business model, has this approach. You have on one side, you have the Iconomy fees. So 100% of the BLX, which is 3% of the management fees, and 30% of others' fees, so the other management fees, will be kind of taken here. And then you have the 20% of the CCP fund profits that are kind of going into the revenue part as well. Now, on the other side, you have a cost, certain amount of cost, that is 3% management fee per annum. So meaning, if you're investing into this, and you can already see here the fees, so you have everything from 2.5%, 1.1%, up to 5, 6, 7, 20%. And these 20% are exactly the ones that are running back into the Iconomy holders. Now, why is this relevant? It is relevant because there is a so-called buyback program. In the buyback program, I might see it here. So you have the Iconomy token. ICN tokens will have a usage on the platform. For example, we anticipate that creating a DAA will require burning ICN tokens. Now, we have the buyback program. We have, so most people, and that's kind of the main part of the analysis, was what kind of purpose does ICN serve? Do you, as an Iconomy token holder, have a use case for ICN? And the answer is yes, you do. It is very similar, if you will, to the BNB, so to the Binance token, to the Binance exchange token, to have ICN. So you are using ICN if you want to create a DAA. You are using ICN if you want to kind of track fees and all of these things. So you have DAA creation. You have to pay ICN as well for rebalancing. So most DAAs rebalance, I think, twice per month. If you want to do more, you have to pay a rebalancing fee. Now, there's also a fee for tokenization and then the new buyback system. Now, the buyback program, or kind of the buyback system here that we explained, is essentially 1,000 Ethereum will be used to purchase ICN in a 90-day period starting from 1st of April 2017. So since last year, every quarter, there is a buyback of 1,000 Ethereum that is happening every quarter, and that will be burned via a smart contract. So you are doing this by taking back the money on the free market. So essentially, on a very, very simple scale, think about this. The economy people go to Kraken or Coinbase. Well, not on Coinbase because it's not on there. Go on Kraken or on any kind of exchange where you can buy economy. And then they are buying back for the worth of value of 1,000 ETH. They are buying back economy tokens. Once they have those tokens, they are sending them to an address. And that address is essentially working like a black hole, if you will. That's how they actually explained it. So you kind of have this buying back on the exchanges, so-called buybacks. And at the end of each quarter, ICN tokens, both in the past 3 months, are burned. Burning means that purchase tokens will be taken off the market with the consequence that the total supply of ICN tokens will decrease. And when it decreases, the value of ICN token increases. This is actually one of the systems, kind of how you can make money for an investor, if you will. So as an investor, normally what you have is dividends, you have stocks, you have other things like, bonuses and all of these things. Now, the buyback program is actually a kind of a dividend, if you will, because in theory, at least, it increases the value of the stocks, or in this case of the tokens held by the people. So if you have ICN, say you have 10 ICN, by kind of buying back ICN on the public market, there is less ICN on the market, hence the value of your 10 ICN are increasing by X percent, because the economy team has bought back and removed economy tokens from the market. It essentially is gone. So meaning your ICN tokens, your 10 ICN tokens are worth more because there is less around. This is kind of the approach that they're doing. And what I have also found, which I think is quite cool, is they are every quarter, they are creating this financial report again on Medium. And I've only found the one for Q1 2018 because the Q2 is probably gonna come out any second now. So probably in these days it's coming out. You can see here that on the kind of balance sheet, if you will, you have here the tokens burnt. So you can see end of 2018, you have 578,000 tokens that are being burnt. And then you have left the 99,157,321 tokens. Now, this is kind of how it works. And you can see this stuff on their balance sheet, if you will. You can also look at the CCP performance, so the Columbus Capital Pinta, which is also kind of under management of Iconomy, if you will. And then you see the assets. They have undisclosed assets. And I think while this is okay, in my opinion, it is kind of, the amounts are quite high. So you get close to 2 million in terms of undisclosed tokens. And the question is, of course, if you look at all of these other tokens, what exactly is there? Because it's at least, I think, a couple of percent of the portfolio is in those undisclosed numbers. And this, I think, it will be cleared up. That's at least what they're saying in the blog post. But still, I would like to see this kind of cleared up rather earlier than later. But other than this, I really like the financial reports. I like kind of the team structure. I do like this buyback program because in my opinion, it works. As for BNB or Binance token, it works as well. So this is kind of my overview over ICN. Now, should you buy ICN or economy? Well, it depends. In my opinion, if you're more interested in having kind of your money managed by another company that is creating those DAAs, by selecting the DAA list, you can go through the DAA list, can kind of check which has had a good performance in, let's say, the last 3 months, because that was quite an important time. And you can see here 7%, 5%, 8%. For example, 8% here with a fee per year for 175 JJK crypto assets. And if you look at them, maybe you can even see, I think, the split down as well. Yeah, you can see the Ethereum or MisaGo, etc., etc. So this is what I really like. So kind of the dashboard that you can see those funds, you can see kind of the performance real time and all of these things. So this is really cool. I think this is definitely a good hedge, if you will, to kind of invest into. The economy token itself, in my opinion, yes, it is it looks like an interesting investment. Obviously, this is not financial advice. It looks like an interesting investment. In my opinion, I would love to see the white paper. I would love to understand why they are changing certain dynamics over and over again and why this is not being communicated more clearly. So I would love to see a white paper, a vision, and then that actually executed, versus how it is currently, that they are changing certain aspects of the technology or of the buyback program, of the burning, and then only then they are releasing kind of the blog post around it. So this is kind of off-putting for me. But the indexes, the DAAs, very interesting for sure. Whether you want this as a hedge, whether you want this to kind of do long-term, up to you. So this is kind of my opinion of Iconomy. With that, guys, we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to comment on below of this video and let me know what token I should look at next. Could be, again, an index or a fund token, could be something else. Let me know in the comments below or send me an email. You can also go on bluealpineresearch.com and then click on contact. Contact me directly. I read all the emails and answer all the emails. With that, we're at the end of today's episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast, join the Telegram channel. I will see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.